You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business. Well, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. This is your host, Scott Sullivan, and I am absolutely thrilled. Today, I am so excited to have a true global entrepreneur. You have, for all of you longtime listeners out there, you know that I bring just interesting guests to the platform, and we have a lot of great conversations with a lot of wonderful little nuggets that you can glean from these true entrepreneurs. But today we are absolutely just honored to have with us a global entrepreneur, Dr. Kushant Uppal, who is the CEO, founder, and currently running a company called Intellizon. Dr. Kushant, first of all, Dr. Uppal, thank you for being with us and welcome.
Thanks a lot, Scott, for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be part of this today.
Well, thank you so much. So for those, again, for all of the listeners out there, they kind of know the format and how we do it. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the journey. The reason we have these great entrepreneurs on Mind Your Own Business is simply because you have lived through, in most cases, what our listeners are either struggling with currently or don't even know that they're about to face. So what we're looking at is the journey, how the ups and downs, the valleys, and the mountaintops that you have experienced, because I would like to glean a few really great nuggets of wisdom and information from you that we can share with our listeners. My grandfather told me when I was very, very young, if you can learn one thing from someone else's experience, it'll save you a ton of heartache. So that's what we're hoping to do today, is to help teach and guide. As you know, platform that goes worldwide, so we'll be broadcasting this show all over the world. And our lens and our filter that we use is a positive message that we deliver to the world that's designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And today, our guest is going to do that. I am so excited to have you. So let's just jump right in. May I call you Kushant? Can we keep it informal this morning? Well, Kushant, so let's just start with the origin story. Let's kind of pick it up, just touch on where you come from, obviously your accent and sort of your background, where you came, and kind of get us up through your college days and a little bit about you and how you got your feet on this path.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Like you write, one of the things you mentioned about entrepreneurship being a journey, I mean, every person has their own journey and, every entrepreneur has their own ups and downs and a beautiful story, I'm sure, that people can relate to. And I'll walk you through my origin. So I did grow up in India and did my high school in India and came to the U.S. for my master's program and followed it up with a PhD program at the University of Southern California. And so that really got me going with my college degree and my setting up the base for my career. I did my PhD in optoelectronics this is for people who may not be as technical. It's has to do with LEDs and semiconductor lasers that we use in telecom sector and LEDs everybody knows these days. So one of the other things was I met my wife Rupal at USC where she was studying for a master's in computer science, and soon after my graduation and her graduation we got married and had two beautiful kids. And spent about a decade in Silicon Valley. I was working in the optical telecom sector, and started my career on the technical side, moved on to the business side, and worked at a company called JDS Uniphase. It's an optical components company based in San Jose. Before I moved to India to start Intellizon in 2007. So that's really, in a nutshell, where I started from and got to my entrepreneurship role in India.
That's excellent. So tell us a little bit about, just give us a little bit more color around growing up in India. So you were you part of a big family? You had a traditional Indian family, mom, dad, a whole bunch of kids. Was it just you as a an only child? What was your home life like?
Yeah, so very interesting because you're right. There are stories, and I'm sure people know that there are families can be huge in India, joint families, where you're living with 20 people in a huge home. Whereas in my case, it was a bit different because I've got family which is spread out all over the world. I've got family in the U.S., Canada, London, and in different parts of in India. So we were actually, the city where I grew, I was born in a city called Delhi in India, and I did my schooling and I grew up in Hyderabad. So we were actually immigrants in the city. So it was just me, my parents, my mom, dad, and me. So I'm the only child. So grew up in that sense, but I had some, great friends and family friends and cousins in India. So in my childhood, I did grow up with all of them. And like that was one of the things that, I think it shaped me as a person when I was growing up, the whole influence of friends and families as I was growing up.
Excellent. And your father and your mother and father were, was your father a scientist or a professional in the same field, or how, what did your father do?
So my father actually, so when we moved to Hyderabad, he moved with a job, and he actually moved with a job in a company which was into electrical appliances. And soon after that, I think about 2, 3 years after he moved, he actually started his own company in distribution of electrical appliances. So I think you can probably say, part of my entrepreneurship genes or my, what I was seeing was an entrepreneur in the family. So that started at that age for me,
That's what I
looking
was
at
trying to
them.
get to. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, is like kind of where that entrepreneurial bug, because it sounded like until 2007 you were very, very deep into academia and, bringing it does, first of all, congratulations. It's not easy finishing a PhD, but then on top of that, also being, getting married and having children and developing a career and all the things that go along with that. So that's fantastic. So your father kind of helped you with that little bit of that entrepreneurial bug. That's great. I will tell you is that I haven't had the opportunity yet to the honor to meet your children, but I do know that they have got a very uphill climb if they're going to surpass their mom and dad, because it sounds like they have two parents that are extremely well educated and extremely motivated. So, I'm not envying their childhood for the next few years. They're going to be cracking the books a lot, it sounds
No pressure on them. I think they're going to pave their own path. That's the way we believe. It's their journey is also like, for me, Intellizon's another child, and that's the way we look at it. Their children, they're paving their own path, and the same way it's happening with the company.
That's great. That's fantastic. Well, thanks for that origin story. We really appreciate that, because that what we this show is so important to young entrepreneurs, because the problem that a lot of them think is they think they're doing this in a vacuum, that, oh my gosh, I'm experiencing these problems that have never been solved before, that no one's ever faced. And to hear, how a young man, coming from India, comes and finishes his education, and then as an adult starts in an entrepreneurship, that is that's fantastic. So I really do appreciate that, and getting your feet on the path. So now it's 2007. We're going to jump ahead a little bit. We're at 2007. You're in the Silicon Valley. What was the what was the day, or tell us about that time in your life that said, okay, today's the day. I'm whatever. What was the kind of walk us through what happened in your life that said, this is it. I've been working for this company for X number of years. I've been doing really well. My career's on a good path, but this isn't enough for me and my family. I need to start this company. So tell us about how how that seminal moment came about in your life.
Yeah, certainly. So I believe entrepreneurship is, in some ways, I think it's inborn in you. It's something which is always there at the back of your mind. You're just, an entrepreneur can never be comfortable. You've always got to be in that zone where you want to do something out of the box. So I think for years it was there with me, like I mentioned, I saw my dad as an entrepreneur. I was in college, always thinking about what else can I do? What is the new thing that I can bring to this world? Even in my job, it was always thinking out of the box. And so somewhere that was always with me. And in 2006, December, sitting over the Christmas holidays, is when I was reading about stuff in solar. Solar was still new to the world around that time. A lot of stuff happening in Europe. It was just coming into the US. And I was thinking about how solar can be used to impact people's lives. And then I was reading a lot about the developing world and, the remote locations in Africa, the rural areas in India, and some of the parts of Asia. And I was thinking, well, solar is for free. It can have an impact on people's lives. And that really was the, that moment which we say where I felt, this excites me to do something in this segment where I can spend a lot of time of my life. I'm passionate about this. And I had a huge buy-in from my wife. And I can tell you that was a, huge support structure for me. So that was really the moment it was born. And then I started my research and came to the conclusion that, 6 months later, that this is it. I've got to start doing this full time and jumped into it sometime in 2007.
And then that first day that you stepped out and you said, okay, you went in and talked to your boss and you said, this is it. I've got this idea. I'm going to go do something. What did that look like in the early days? Did you go out and get financing for it? Did you build a business plan and go out and get financing and have seed money? Or did you literally start it from the ground up with your own bootstraps and just walk in and say, we're going to go do this. First at the living room, first at the kitchen table, then we're gonna, turn the living room into an office, and then you moved in. So what was that first year like as you were founding and kind of creating what Intellizon was gonna be?
Yeah, so the first year was really trying to make sure I understand the landscape because my experience was, I was good at building products and taking them to markets, but the business focus was my customers were the corporates like Ciscos and AT&T, those kind of customers, and not only in the US, all over the world. Whereas what I was trying to do now was go after people in villages and with products that, yeah, I knew I was confident I could build products, but I didn't really understand the market. So I did my market research. Yeah, very different, very different. I know moving from B2B to B2C and B2C also, the consumer was a very different customer. It's a customer who doesn't have much money to pay.
Yes.
So
So from a boardroom, from a boardroom to a non-energized hut somewhere in South Africa, that's definitely a
there you
difference
go.
of culture.
Yeah, but I just spent enough time trying to understand what the needs are, where the problems lie, and what is it that one can do with technology to really get, make an impact on that market. So I built a business plan around that, raised some seed money through one of the I've got one angel investor in by the name of Rajesh Jain in India, who's also is a serial entrepreneur. And I had one small fund in India who gave me some initial money. I also should mention that we were incubated by my undergrad university in India. I did my undergraduate in IIT Madras, and so they were also instrumental in getting me going.
Oh,
So
excellent.
that's
So,
really started.
yes. So, but let's pause there just for a moment and talk about that, because that's a resource that a lot of our entrepreneurs forget about, right? Because my alma mater also had an incubator where if you brought a, they actually have a entrepreneurial kind of contest each year, and the winner, gets grant money. So there are opportunities to go back to your alma mater, both for your undergrad and your grad. Don't forget, entrepreneurs that are listening out there now today, that there are other resources. So that's a great point. Thanks for that, Kushant. That was great. So now you're up and running. Things are going well. Let's talk about the, it's not an easy task. I don't want to make light of it. So let's talk a little bit about the early successes and some of the challenges, and how who are the people or the things, the books, the events, things that kind of molded the next, part of your history. So now in your journey, we've now moved from, the corporate world and academia, and now we're eyeball level deep in entrepreneurship. And now you've got Intellizon up and running. You've got a business plan, which as soon as it comes in contact with the real world, it changes, as we all know. And now, so you're going to have those days, and I'm sure. Tell us about the early successes, and then tell us about how you got through those perceived, I hate to use the word failure, but perceived setbacks. And then you have a quote in here on your bio that I want to talk about that's absolutely fantastic. But first, let's talk a little bit about now that you're up and running. Give us a couple of ideas of early successes and things that just inspired you.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing, just starting out in India was, I had come back to India after about spending about 15 years in the US. So, any place in the world changes. It was almost like coming to a new country one more time. And so that itself was a challenge. But I did have good support system in terms of family. So, the kids were taken care. My wife is independent, so she works for Oracle, and so she had her own setup. And but then when it came to Intellizon, huge challenges because putting the team together, the mindset. So I came from Silicon Valley where people want to work for startups. People, it's in the blood. Everybody wants to be part of a startup. And that was not the DNA in India at that point. People want to work for, the government. People want to work in large corporates because there's a people feel proud about this being associated with a brand name. So that was the first challenge. Getting good people, committed people to start building a team was a huge challenge. And I would say still a challenge, but that was the first challenge. And the second, so with those things, we slowly started building a team. And we were pretty good at, given my background, I was pretty good at building a product because I could train people, and we built a team, we built some products. The next challenge was when we went to the market. The shock that we had. So we made some great products. People liked it. And the belief was that we are going into locations where so our first product was the solar home light, basically. And it was a sub, about a $10 product. And we said, oh, we can sell millions of these. So we went in the market, to the villages, and started selling these, and people loved it. They said, this is great. People like it, and this should now scale. But then the big moment was when we went and did some market research, and people who was sitting next to the neighbors of people who had bought our product would say that, listen, $10 is a lot of money for me, and I'm actually comfortable with the darkness. I'm okay with the moonlight. And so that was like an eye opener, saying that You can create the best products you want, the best technology you want, but the consumer actually is used to a certain way of living, and you can't change those habits. So that was a moment which said, this is going to be tough. It's not an easy path. And although we sold, I sold, it took like a few years, but we sold maybe 100,000 of these lights. But that target of getting to millions was looking tough because reaching the channels were very expensive. Reaching these villages and rural markets and trying to sell these was a very tough task. It was very expensive. So those were some of the initial challenges that we came across as we were trying to build the business. And so, you use the word failure. That I don't think that term exists in an entrepreneur's dictionary.
I agree. That's
So,
why I struggle with it. That's exactly why I struggle with it. So I
so
want to
I
give.
always have this belief. I have this thing which I believe that actually success is what one learns between these failures, or your difficulties.
That's the quote
So.
right there, guys. You heard it here on Mind Your Own Business with Dr. Kushant Uppal. So he says, success is what one learns in between failures. That is absolutely a fantastic quote. So there's your nugget for today, guys, boys and girls. That's awesome. I agree 100%. So when you were going through these, what was the, who were you reaching out to? I mean, obviously, your wife, your children, I mean, you have the support mechanism, but who were you reaching out to as far as other people or what was motivating you? Were you reading certain books? What was getting you through those hours when you're going, okay, this is not working the way I want. I may have to pivot here. There's all kinds of things. So what was your mindset then, and how are you keeping yourself in the right mindset?
So the biggest motivation, so the crux of Intellizon, was that we wanted to create, till today our vision is we want to create a world of smart energy. And so what we had picked in terms of technology was the battery technology and the lighting technology, the solar and all that, and the smart electronics, and we were taking it to people. The motivation was the satisfaction level and the happiness people were getting in using our product was a huge motivating factor. I still remember we had one of the potential investors who with whom we went to some of these villages, and so the investor went in, asked a person who was using this one of our products, and this was he had been using for about 6 months or a year, and said, "Listen, I'll pay you the $10. I'll pay you $20, and I'll buy back this from you." And the person refused and said, "No, I will not part with this." So that was a huge satisfaction for us. We knew that we are making good products. Yes, we've got business challenges, but at least what we're making is good and people value it. So we said, let's continue to innovate on our business model and see how to make it a bit more successful commercially. So yeah, challenges were there, but no lack of motivation because the impact we were having was direct. We could actually see it on the ground.
So if I understand correctly, I'm going to paraphrase. So you were seeing these little micro successes inside the bigger challenge of finding the right channel and getting the right price point within that channel. Was that a fair statement?
Yes, I think that's very well said.
Okay, so now, so where are we today? So let's jump ahead to now. You've got this brand. You've got Obviously, Intellizon is a much different, animal than it was back then. So, talk to me about for this last part of the journey. Tell me about where Intellizon is today. What's the company look like? What are your plans and goals to, move forward? And, what are the new set of challenges that you're facing now that the model is different now, right? So talk to me a little bit about that. And also, for our listeners, you and I had this conversation earlier. I'd like to hear a little bit about how the name came about with Intellizon too, because I asked you, and I think it's an interesting story. So if you could take those couple of items and just kind of run with them, I would appreciate it.
Okay, let me start with the name first. So Intellizon. So Zon actually means sun, the solar or sun in Dutch, and Intelli is just short for intelligence. So it's basically saying it's an intelligent solar system company. So that's how Intellizon, the name Intellizon came about.
That's excellent.
And that's what we've, I mean, we since 2007, we've actually been creating intelligent solar solutions. So we've stuck to our name, we've stuck to our vision. And to your point about what do we do today and how we are different from where we started out, I think the vision hasn't changed. But yes, the products, our market focus has changed a bit in the sense that now we actually have become pioneers in solar outdoor systems. You know, these are solar streetlights which go into communities, both rural and in cities. So we are now, so you know, we are actually pioneers in what we call lithium-ion-based solar system. And our model has transitioned from B2C to now more B2B, where we supply into our products go into corporates and governments, and it does go into homes too, but through our channel partners. So our more focus has become more B2B, which is what I knew best when I started out.
Well, I want to interrupt you just for a moment here too, and tell our listeners. So this is how I found Intellizon. I, as all of my listeners know, I'm 30 years in the energy business, and I've spent a lot of time in solar. And I had a gentleman come to me and say, you know, I have these huge, gigantic 1,000-watt lamps out in the middle of my parking lot that are on all night long, and it's nothing but a sunk cost for me. He said, I wish there was some way that we could use the sun to pay for those without having to cover my roof with, you know, solar. And I said, well, let me do some research. And as I was going through, Intellizon makes some fantastic LED type of lamps that can sit out there in the parking lot and be completely autonomous. Is that a correct statement, Kushat?
Yeah, absolutely. I think
Yeah. So
that's
now think about this. You know, when you're building a shopping center, or you're building a car dealership, or anything here in the United States or anywhere in the world, and you need to have that parking lot security lighting, they have to trench, you know, run a conduit, run power out there, and, you know, then have switchgear inside somewhere that manages all that. Where now they pour an island, they put up a pole, and you put Intellizon products on the top of that pole, and you end up having the same amount or better quality light run from the sun charging a battery to the battery discharging to light the parking lot at night. Is that correct in what the way I'm saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you see, what we believe is that the world of outdoor lighting should be wireless. I mean, where is the need to pull all these cables, putting them underground, you know, digging cables and pulling grid power to all these outdoor lights, whether it's a street light or whether it's a community light? We end up putting all these cables, which is not required because you can have a standalone solar system on a pole or on a wall on your home, and it runs on its own. The key is to make it reliable, and that's where Intellizon's actually had a significant part to play.
Right. So when I asked you what the key differentiators are between Intellizon and your competitors, you had some pretty interesting comments around that. So let's talk a little bit about that. What are the key differentiators from Intellizon?
Yeah, so we always believe there are two key differentiators that Intellizon provides. One is that we now have the most reliable lithium-ion-based solar systems, and reliable in the sense that these systems are running in the field for more than 6 years. And I don't think anybody in the world, or very few people in the world, should be able to claim that as of now. So the key gap in solar outdoor lighting to eliminate all this, to create a wireless environment was reliability, and I think we've demonstrated that. The second is that we've taken it to the next outdoor lighting to the next level, where we now have products which are really innovative. We've got, we always think of a light on a pole and say, okay, the pole is just for a light, but we've taken it to the next level. We actually have lights which you can remotely, sitting anywhere in the world, you can actually monitor and control these lights. We've got lights where we've got inbuilt cameras in there, so you can actually see what's happening in your community. So it's that extra level of security that we are able to provide. And we are working on some other really cool technologies where we believe it's going to be, we are setting the stage for a smart pole now, where we're going to add more and more things to that. So we've taken innovation to a level where we have products today which are used in remote locations of Africa, as well as in the most advanced places in the world, in the US and Europe.
That's fantastic. And especially in emerging, growing communities where the infrastructure maybe isn't as built out as it should be. I remember you and I had a conversation about a remote village in Africa that, they're making a road, but they don't have the infrastructure to lay cable to put streetlights. So the road is dark, but not now because Intellizon comes in and says, half a mile or every quarter of a mile, pop one of these Intellizon smart poles in. And not only do they get the lighting, but they're also getting the security because of the cameras and the LAN and the Wi-Fi. That so it's amazing how, I mean, you literally are, Intellizon literally is changing the world because now I can drive down that road and have a whole lot different sensation and a whole lot different level of security because of the light that you're providing because of a product that you started back in 2007 when you wanted to power a village. So, wow. I mean, it has definitely come full circle. You are changing the world. So congratulations, Kushant. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for that.
So what's next now? Okay, so now you're changing the world in the global sense of the community. What's next for Intellizon? Is it more just expanding across other places in the world, or is there a new line or family of products that are coming out? And then how do as we wrap up, then how do my listeners actually, get in touch with you or your company? They don't necessarily need to have your email address, but how do they find Intellizon, and if they are the right customer or they know someone that needs your products, how do they actually engage with you and your team, and maybe someone specifically on your team that they should talk to? Now, we'll put contact information in the website up on our website, of course. So at globalnewsforum.com, there'll be a link. But let's talk a little bit about what the ideal customer is for you, what the next things are that are coming down the pike, and then how do we engage with you?
Okay. So the first thing, what we are, our focus over the next 12 months is really taking our stable, reliable platforms and identifying passionate partners who can really take it locally in the locations that they are situated in. So we are looking for partners globally at this point. So we're currently present in about 10 countries, and we are looking to expand to many more. We want to get to about 50 countries by the end of this year.
What does a partner look like? Tell us so if I'm a business, if I'm a local electrician in, rural India, is that a partner for you, or is that, so talk to me a little bit about what a partner looks like so that our listeners can say, oh, I know a guy like that, or I am a guy like that.
Yeah, so we have a couple profiles of ideal partners because these products, solar outdoor lights, are used by government agencies as well as by corporates and households too. So we have there are certain consultants with solar experience who are engaged with the government agencies, the electricity departments, or any of the renewable agencies. And so these consultants could be good partners because they actually have a relationship, can introduce our products, are technically aligned, and they understand our products and can present it locally with their government agencies. And then you have electricians and business people who are experienced in projects, small projects related to households or corporates, or they've got those relationships. And so one of the things with our products is it requires installation. So people who have experience in installations for either at the household level or a corporate level are again can tap into this, and I think there's a great opportunity for them to diversify their business or grow their existing solar businesses. There are a lot of solar installers in every country today, and most of them are focused on rooftop solar, and this is a great line for them to add on to their portfolio.
Okay, excellent. And then what's next for Intellizon after the global expansion? Is there a new family of products? What's sort of, just give us a little bit of a glimpse on the roadmap. Just a little. You don't have to tell away, give away any secrets, but what can we see coming from Intellizon in the next 6 to 18 months?
Yeah, so I guess I gave a little inkling of that when I mentioned the use the term smart pole. So I think in terms of technology, we are working on adding more features, more applications to a pole because you've already invested in the real estate by installing a pole somewhere, but can we add more things to it so that it add more applications to it? So that's something we're working on. So in our outdoor lighting, it's going to be adding more and more features to lighting and to the pole. And at the same time, we're also working on, we've developed recently. So when we first came out, we had these solar home lighting systems, the small systems, the $10 gadgets. But now we've actually started creating, we've launched a new series of models. We call it the Zon Power model. It's basically a solar DC system. So if you look at most of the lights, and maybe in some of the countries, people use these fans and chargers and stuff like that. They all run on AC power. And so the thing is that when you look at LEDs or you look at fans, the most efficient brushless DC fans, they all run on DC. And so what we are essentially doing is we're bringing AC power from the grid, converting it from AC to DC. And so there's a lot of inefficiencies in these systems and the way we are running these gadgets. So we've created some really efficient lights and fans and are completely making a solar DC system run at home at this point. So there are a lot of countries where people still have power cuts, they use inverters, and we have systems which can basically. Again, remote locations in some of the countries, or even when we look at US, if you're going for camping or you're going for you're living in some parts where you're afraid of a power cut or something at some point, you can install one of these systems and you're completely independent of the grid. So it's more of an indoor system rather than an outdoor solar system.
That's excellent. Okay, so for our listeners that don't know, because obviously we have Dr. Kushant Uppal, and this guy here with a little bit of technology, nothing near what Kushant has. But just for a quick education, most people don't know that your computer is running off of DC power, and we plug it in, we transform it. And we convert that power from AC back to DC to actually to plug our computer in. So what you're saying is that we would have a DC direct connection with things that have a much higher efficiency for DC and not have to go through that conversion. So do you envision the day? Now, I know we're getting way out here on a limb, and I'm not trying to pin you into a corner, but I see a day when I have two receptacles. I have my AC receptacle, and then right next to it, I have my green receptacle, which is coming from my DC home wired system so that I have DC things that run much more efficient on DC, and I just plug them right into a DC. Is that what you're talking about? I mean, is that the culmination of this vision that I'm hearing from you?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly where we see the world heading. And we're starting to see that happening. So typically in any home, you've got low wattage appliances running on, and then you've got the high wattage appliances like the air conditioning and the refrigerators and stuff, the higher power consumption gadgets. So we're already starting to see that we're starting to make an impact on the low wattage lines that are coming into the home. Especially when you're constructing a new home or a new building, we can run them all with using DC wiring.
So as or if you're doing a large remodel, when you because during a remodel, you can also, you may have the walls open and you may put in, be able to run that wiring. So again, for my listeners here that know me, so we have talked, we had a guest on a few weeks ago that sold DC direct drive attic fans because, they are so efficient and so quiet that you could put a solar panel on the roof that was completely, not connected to the grid, not done. It was not connected to anything except the fan. And then in the morning when the sun came up, the DC fan would come on in the attic, cooling the house, right? Pulling that hot air out for the entire course of the day so that the attic was anywhere from 10 to 15 degrees cooler than it would be without the fan. Thus lowering your energy bill and your air conditioning and all that other things. So what you're saying is we would have that now built into the home with a DC power line and an AC power line, and the items that would run more efficiently, like the DC direct drive fans or computers, things like that, that could you could just plug directly into the DC network, much like a mobile home or a large boat or other things that already have DC systems already built in. This is amazing. I love this. This is a great vision for Intellizon.
Yeah, thank you. So, I just want to add one more point. So, if you think about it, the source today, when you look at solar or batteries, they all provide DC power. And so, what are we doing? So, we end up converting DC to AC, and then when you look at efficient appliances like LEDs and DC fans, they're also using another converter of AC to DC because they were planned to run on AC power. So now
So
essentially you're doing a DC to AC and another AC to DC, and you end up losing almost 30 to 40% efficiency, and you're just wasting power.
Yes, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. So how do we get started? So I want to go to Intellizon and I want to look at the products and I want to find out, I'm one of your ideal consultants or one of your installers. And so how do I find you and how do I get engaged with Intellizon?
Yeah, so we've got a website, www.intellizon.com. We've got people who do end up on that can contact us by sending an email or phone call. Emails are info@intellizon.com or marketing@intellizon.com. We're present on the social media. We've got dedicated we're there on LinkedIn, we are there on Facebook, we're there on Twitter. So people actually, we've got a dedicated Facebook page of Intellizon Community where people who have used our products actually make comments on that. They post pictures and they talk about all the things that they like about what they're seeing in our system. So those are different ways of experiencing or getting in touch with Intellizon.
Excellent. So we always like to ask our listeners for a call to action. So here's what I'd like for you to do. All of the listeners out there at Mind Your Own Business on the Global News Forum, wherever you are in the world, wherever you happen to be listening today, if you see a street that is a little dimly lit, needs a little more power, needs a little more light, so that it feels a little safer, take a picture of it and send it to, of course, my Twitter is at Sales with Sully, or you can use the hashtag Mind Your Own Business all together, hashtag Mind Your Own Business. And do you know if the Twitter handle for IntelliZone is just at IntelliZone?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So let's put some pictures up of some places in the world that are listening right now to the Global News Forum that are just have gotten a huge nugget of information from our guest, our global entrepreneur. I mean, this puts the global into the name, and I can't tell you, Kushant, how much I have appreciated your time. This has been a fantastic hour of bringing some really great information and some of your journey. I love two things that you and I talked about earlier. I want to bring out is that I love the fact that you were able to divide your life into your life's journey into three phases. You talked about the childhood and schooling and your time in India, and then your marriage, your family, college, and your time in the United States, and then come full circle all the way back to India with your entrepreneurship and then your family and the experience that you've had in literally changing the world one light at a time, adding light to this world. There is no better definition of being positive than adding light to the world. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. All of my listeners out there, I encourage you, please send some love to IntelliZone, at IntelliZone on Twitter. Obviously, you can reach them on www.intellizone.com, which is their website. You can always reach me at hashtag mind your own business anytime. I'm here all the time at Sales with Sully. And you guys all know how to get a hold of me, theglobalnewsforum.com. Any last thoughts or words, Kushant, as we wrap up here to say, first of all, thank you. And then anything else you want our listeners to know before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I guess you touched upon my life events. So I always believe, you know, entrepreneurship is something which it's a company that you form is really based on your experiences. And in my particular case, my experience of living in these different parts of the world and getting exposed to different cultures, that's been the key factor which has influenced, molded me as a person and has set the values for IntelliZone as we, you know, set out creating it, and now as we are trying to, you know, grow it into a global entity.
It has been an honor to have you on the show today. I really appreciate it. For those of you that don't know, it's in the middle of the night in India, and I'm in Northern California. As most of you know, that's where I do my show from. So it's in the middle of the night in India, and I have kept our guest up late. He's missed his family dinner and spent time with us today. So we really appreciate you and your time. We want to say, first of all, thanks from all of the family and the friends at Mind Your Own Business. Thanks for changing the world one light at a time.
Thanks a lot, Scott. And I hope people will enjoy this show and on Mind Your Own Business.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs of the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.